is 10 years old, and he's a kid, see? And...
Roll, I'm a kid, you know. I'm in the library. And it is in the library that many subversive things happen to many guys' minds. I'm in the library. This little, you know, library in town. Met this lady named Miss Easter, who was our librarian. Just to, you know, she knew all the kids that come in, and she would save stuff for different kids, what they like. So every time that I came in, she gave me this Boy's Life. You ever read Boy's Life? Well, I got Boy's Life, see? I'm a Cub Scout. And I sit down at the table, Boy's Life, see? I've got a big, fat, new Boy's Life, and I'm looking at it, going through it. I couldn't believe it. There's an article in there on how to make a set of wings that you attach to your bicycle. A set of wings to fly. And, I don't know what kind of fantasy it was, but there it was. And it even had the blueprint, like, you know, printed blueprint dimensions, how to make it. You got certain kinds of wood at the lumber yard. I remember one of the specifics, the leading edge was a 2x2. You would get a 2x2, which you would plane down and make rounded on the front, see, and give it a... Yeah, this is how you make the wing. And the wings were attached on either side of the handlebars. And you get these, you go get galvanized clamps. They call them galvanized clamps, number two galvanized clamps, from the hardware store, obtainable at any hardware store. And you easily clamp them to the standard bicycle handlebars, shown in figure A. And there's a picture. Figure A shows how they clamp. And, you know, had two clamps, one on each side, one on the top, one on the bottom, clamps. And then you made a brace. It was you'd get a round piece of metal, a quarter inch round, and the braces came down and attached down, you know, the two nuts on your front wheel? These were like struts that would give strength to the wing, or as we said, strength, would give strength to the wing, you know? And there it was, a blueprint on how to fly, and the picture, the illustration, I can still see it in my mind, because this was one of the great moments of my life, you know, seeing this thing, because up to this point, I was not a kind of kid that builds stuff. I was a non-builder. Some kids like to build things. I was a non... I hated shop. Somehow I hated this. But this was something else. This was not building. It was flying. And it was a picture of a kid on his bicycle, and it was viewed from above him. And he's waving, you see, at the artist. He's waving. And you see below him this backyard. He's flying over a house. And under him was a house. And he's flying along, and he's waving. And, of course, there were kids. You could see kids down on the ground waving up to him. I could imagine myself flying out over the Warren G. Harding School, gaining altitude, but doing a slow roll in the sun. And people screaming and yelling. I says, there he goes. Took that Boy's Life. It was one of the few times in my life that I actually committed a robbery. I'm sitting there reading Boy's Life, and I had to get that out of there. I mean, I had to. And I was wearing a sweater. You know those kind of sweaters that 10-year-old kids wear that have got diamond checkers on them? Had a blue and green one, say, and it had the little yellow lines on it. And so I'm sitting watching Miss Easter, who was working behind her desk about 50 feet away. And somebody asked for a book, and she walked behind the desk and disappeared behind all the bookshelves. And instantly, I take the Boy's Life magazine, stick it up under my sweater, and I tucked it down in my belt. Have you ever done that? Put my belt around it, and I'm sitting there hunched over so it doesn't show, and I pretend now that I'm reading the National Geographic, which had that particular month a stirring article on the natives of the southern coast of India, a subject of which I was deeply interested in. So I'm looking at this thing, I'm waiting for her to walk back again. She walks back, and I'm peering around. See, and sure enough, she goes back to get some more books. Instantly, I got out the door, and I'm down the street, make the corner, I'm down to the next street, and I'm free, I'm home free. Ain't nobody can see me from the library. So I ease it out from under my sweater. I now have an illicit Boy's Life. I suspect that many of you felt that your life as a boy was illicit all the way. It's quite true. I've got my boy's life now. 10 minutes later, I am talking to Schwartz. And I'm showing him the article on how to make wings to fly. He couldn't believe it. He says, you mean you could fly in your bicycle, your bike? And he says, yeah, look, there's a picture. They wouldn't put it in there if you couldn't do it. You know, we believe in print. One thing about people who is a semi-literate people, they begin to believe in print almost like earlier tribes believed in gods and totems. If it's in the paper, they couldn't say that it wasn't true. How many times have you heard that? They could. Well, what do you mean? They couldn't get away with that. So I said to Schwartz, yeah, it must, how could they, you know, how they couldn't. Look, it says in the piece, in the article, that all it costs is $13.27. They had a complete list of equipment and materials you needed. You needed muslin. Have any of you ever tried to go out and buy muslin? Well, that weekend, I bust out my life savings. I had about $4.70, which accrued, you know. I got a dollar for a couple of birthdays and quarters for doing stuff like, mowing lawns and that. And I'd saved a couple of allowances. I was, at that time, working on a 7 cent a week allowance. And so here I bust out my $4. Schwartz throws in about $4, maybe $3. Flick comes in for a couple of bucks. Bruner throws what he's got in, and we had $15. It is the first joint flying combine in the neighborhood. And we're down in a basement. We decided to build it in Flick's basement. He had the best basement. It was a great big wide basement. And the trouble with my basement is the old man had 5,000 tires piled up in the bottom and their fruit jars and the dead stuff. And, we had a real rotten basement, all kinds of old boxes and crud. But Flick's basement, he had a maniacally clean mother. And their basement, was one of these basements, was painted up, was fixed up like a playroom down at the end. They had a pool table and all that stuff. But the other end was a big basement. They had this oil furnace over in the end. So you could build stuff down there. And they had a workbench and the whole jazz. So we decided to build it at Schwartz's basement. The first thing that the plan said was the following. It says, draw the exact copy of the wing on the floor where you are about to begin construction in chalk. Well, they had a picture of the wing. You've seen airplanes show the wing in skeleton, you see. And so we drew it. It just had the dimensions. You had to draw this thing. And the wings were 11 and a half feet long, each wing, at a 22-foot wingspan. Yeah, it was 11 feet on each side, see. So we drew these things out on the ground with this on the concrete floor with chalk. And now it looks like a grill. And when you start doing stuff like that, you have a vague sense of accomplishment, as if it's almost in existence already. And so we drew this thing out on the floor, and we've got the list of materials that are needed. Among other things, you needed to get, I think you needed six 2x2s. The leading edge was a 2x2. They had a center spar in the wing, it ran right down the center of it, which was also a 2x2. And you got a 2x2 for the trailing edge, but you had to plane it down thin like a wedge. You've done that when you built model airplanes? Well, Flick had a wedge, so we went down to Betz's lumber yard. And we had our list, see. And I remember the guy, have you ever bought stuff at a lumber yard? It's a great feeling. I love to go to lumber yards. It's a terrific feeling, the smell and everything, And there's real masculine type guys walking around there with overalls and they're swearing and stuff. And the guys driving in and out of the place with trucks and wheelbarrows and all this stuff. Yeah, it's a real life. So we get out of the lumber yard and we walk into the office. Now, I had never bought anything in my life in the lumber yard. I'd always gone past the lumber yard. And now we're in the lumber yard. And the instruction said, go to the lumber yard. So we went to the lumber yard. So we get down there, and the clerk is behind the desk. This little office, and you could smell the wood. And out in the yard, you could see all these great big 4x4s and big piles of bales of shingles and jazz and big barrels of nails. And I remember one thing they had a big display on the wall when you came in there of about 5,000 different types of hinges. They were all over the, big hinges, little hinges, brass hinges. Yeah, what a great place. Walk in. There were about 9 guys buying stuff there. There were tough-looking guys with trucks and that buying shingles and tar and nails and stuff, bolts. And so finally it's our turn. He says, what do you want? So we hand him the list. Point to the list, and he says, what is this? List of material for what? Set a pair of wings? Are you guys going to build wings? And instantly, about 3 guys in the place look over, you know, they're looking. We didn't realize at the time. I imagine a lot of them went home that night and told their old lady about these kids coming in building wings, you know. So, wings, he says, oh, yeah, of course. Let's see, 2x2s. Hey, Fred! He hollers out the window. Hey, Fred! Bring me 9 of those 12-foot 2x2s. Bring them back. I want to show them these kids. So he brings in the 2x2s, and they bring them in. We're supposed to pick them. It's a select 2x2s that are unblemished with knots, that don't have any bend in them, and that are not warped. So we're standing here looking at the 2x2s, and they look great. You know, the big 12-foot 2x2s laying on the floor there, and all the while he's waiting on other people. So Schwartz says, hey, that one looks pretty good. And so we lift it up and look at it, you know, sighting down it. We finally wound up, and we picked 6 of these beautiful 2x2s. Beautiful things. And that we paid for them. And I was astounded at how much wood cost. You know, we used to find wood. You know, our idea of wood, you know, you never think of wood as costing anything. It's just stuff you find or you burn it and all that. Wow, you know, this cost us some dough. So we buy the wood. And there were other things we had to buy. For example, we had to buy clamps, number 2 clamps, galvanized clamps. And he looks down at the list again. He says, number 2, galvanized clamps. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, you need 1, 2, 3, 3 on a side. You need 6 clamps. Number 2 clamp. What the hell's a number 2 clamp, he said. He just said in the article, number 2 clamp. So he says, hey, Fred, you ever heard of a number 2 galvanized clamp? You hear out the back, no, I said a number 2 galvanized clamp. Let me see. He opens the drawer and there's about 28 million clamps in there. He's, you know, I apparently don't have numbers like that, so he's looking, and he looks at the dimensions. He says, hey, these are okay. So he takes out 6 big clamps. You see, they're galvanized. They actually were galvanized. See, 6 big galvanized clamps. He lays them down on the table there, and he says, let's see, that's 67 cents a piece. Whee! You know, clamps. This is, who, you know, I never bought a clamp in my life. They were about 65 cents a piece. So now we got 6 clamps. So he's looking at the stuff. He says, hey, we don't care. No, what is this? Muslim? What's this, a religion or something? And it says, Muslim. And it's Muslim. And in the article, it says, go to your neighborhood dry goods store, and you will obtain the proper muslin. Tell them you want plain, white, unbleached muslin. Well, you know, I don't know whether you've gone to a dry... You go to a dry goods store, and generally they have handkerchiefs and stuff and socks. So, you know, this was a whole new thing. So he says, let's see, you need the... Oh, I see. Brass-headed nails. All right. So he sells us the nails. Anyway, we left this store, the lumber yard, with these beautiful 2x2s. And also, we had to buy plywood. We got 1 big sheet of plywood. You were to cut out of the plywood the ribs of the wings. You've seen the ribs that you make out of the model airplanes. And they had, in scale, drawn in the Boys Life magazine, they had this template. You were supposed to take this thing, trace it out, and then make it bigger somehow and make these ribs this size. They were about 2.5 feet like so, see? And the thickness of them was maybe 6 inches, the cord, see? Make these ribs. And you were to make, I remember, each wing had 7 ribs in it. So you can figure they were pretty close together. It was 11-foot wing. So we bought this big, fantastically big piece of, it seemed big to us, it was about a 6-foot by 5-foot piece of plywood. And I remember, the most vivid memory I have this thing, they charged you $2 to deliver this stuff. You know, they were going to take it down the basement, deliver it in the truck. So we said, we're going to take it home ourselves, and it was windy. And the 4 of us have got this giant chunk of 2x4, or rather plywood, it's 3-ply, and the wind is blowing. We were practically airborne already, you know, it was really exciting. So we're holding this thing down, the wind is blowing, and we have tied on. They put it with tape. The guy took electrician's tape, and he taped the 2x2s on the top of it. See, so we're carrying this thing in one big chunk. It's all, and we've got bags of nails stuck in our pockets, and Schwartz had the clamps stuck down in his shirt and a whole bit. And we go struggling home, and the wind, and it was blowing. We're struggling, and the vague rain. It was a misty day, and our plywood is getting wet, that we're frantic. So we finally get, you know, it's about 2 miles to Flick's house from the lumber yard. We struggle. I remember it was like building the pyramids in the wind. Have you ever tried to carry a 6-foot chunk of plywood in a high wind when you're when you weigh about 92 pounds and you're 4 feet 2 inches tall? The wind is blowing. We're struggling. Guys, look at it. You know, kind of strange. And it's brand spanking new stuff. You know, we looked like we'd stolen is what actually it looked like. Well, we finally get back to Flick's house. And we're in a backyard. And we couldn't get the plywood in the basement. The door was too short. And one of these doors on the side, you know, with the stairs and angle down into the basement, we couldn't get this plywood in. Well, we struggled around with that, and finally somebody had the bright idea, Flick or Schwartz, said, why don't we saw it in half? We'll saw it right across, see? We'll saw it off, and that way, see, we have to saw it anyway if we're gonna make these ribs, so we'll just saw it off. Rushes down, gets the saw, and we sat out there. He had this dull, cross-cut saw that was made out of Reynolds wrap or something he got for Christmas. And we sawed and sawed and sawed. Have you ever tried to saw across a 6-foot piece of plywood with a dime store saw? We sawed and sawed and sawed. I'm telling you, each one of us, we have blisters all over our elbows and everything, and splinters. Man, do you get splinters on the bottom of that stuff. When you saw down on plywood, you get splinters on the bottom, you know, because you're sawing against the grain, and it's going, nothing would happen. It's your turn, Flick. We saw it and saw it. We saw it about now. We're still outside. We haven't even got the stuff in the basement yet, you know. We finally get it sawed, and it was a wavy line. Instead of a, you know, instead of a nice straight saw, it was a wavy line with all kinds of splinters. We lugged this stuff in the basement. Now we're downstairs. We're all set. Then Schwartz says, what about this muslin? Oh, yeah. So we go down to the dry goods. So we had this place. It was called the New Paris Dry Goods Store. We go down to the where they sold ladies' dresses and stuff. We go down and we said, we want some muslin. She says, what? So we want to buy, it says here, it says 10 yards of unbleached white muslin. White muslin? Clara, do you know where we, do we have any muslin in the back? And you, wah, 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 wah. Well, we have cotton batting. What's cotton batting? You know what cotton batting is, yeah. You don't? It's the stuff they make pillows out of. That's cotton batting. That ain't exactly muslin. Well, we didn't know anything about any of this. Batting muslin. So Schwartz says, maybe we better go down, you know, someplace else. So we better get this real stuff. So we went to about 9 stores to get muslin. And we finally found one that had it. That a big roll of white muslin. Again, it's 19 miles from where we lived. And it comes in a roll almost like wrapping paper. It's a big roll. And the guy says, muslin? Yes. Let's see, you want the unbleached or bleached? It says unbleached. Okay. You're building wings. I see. He's looking at our list of supplies that was taken out of the magazine. All right. You want 10 yards? All right. So he's pulling it off, and he's measuring it. You know how they do on the counter? And then he has this little thing, which is the first time I ever saw one of these things. You ever seen these things they use to cut cloth in stores? He goes, zip! It cuts it right across. Zip! Okay, he rolls it up, wraps it up in paper. He says, all right. Okay, kids, that'll be, 60 cents a yard, 10 yards, $6. $6. So we rack out the $6. We are down now. We're down to nothing but squeaking money. I mean, we have spent all our dough. And there's one other item on this thing, which they did not even mention how much it cost. Have you ever priced, friends, waterproof dope? You know what waterproof dope is? It's the stuff you paint cloth with to make it waterproof and stiff and hard. That's the dope that they use. Well, we take this muslin back and we start it to work using the plants. We must have sawed for 3 hours on each rib. We worked a good, after school and every night, it got to be a thing with us. We worked a good 2 weeks and we finally finished one. covered it with the muslin, and you were supposed to take little tacks, carpet tacks, and tack it along the edges and cover the bottom and the top, you see, with this muslin. If you ever tried to do that, it's really rough going. And you were supposed to make it very tight. You stretch it tight. We tacked all the way on the bottom, and then we started the next one. Of course, now we were expert wing makers, you know. We knew how to do it. So we started. The first one was to buy maybe 2 weeks. The next one we finished in a week. And it was exciting. You imagine two wings laying on the basement floor, and they really looked like wings. They were sort of this white, cream-colored muslin. And in the meantime, we had found out what this clear dope was, and we also found out that you could use a light, thin lacquer, which would substitute for this. We could not buy any dope. We bought at the hardware store a gallon can of thin, white, clear lacquer. And the day that we painted that was an exciting day. We just took paintbrushes and painted the wings with the lacquer. Well, it actually did what the article said it would do. They said that after you paint this, the paint will shrink, this dope will shrink, and it will make the wings tight. Well, we painted this whole thing, and within 2 hours, this stuff dries, and you should have seen those beautiful wings. They had a few bumps on them, you know, and they were kind of crooked, but they were beautiful. They really looked like airplane wings. We had the clamps mounted on the bottom, and that Sunday afternoon, we lugged the wings out of the basement. I thought it was kind of funny. They both weighed about 45 pounds. You know, we could hardly lift them. you don't think of those things. See, they looked so great. They looked like real wings. We carried these wings out. We took them around the back, and we carried them in Flick's wagon. We put them on the wagon and took my bike. I had an Elgin bike. We took my bike, Flick's wagon, and we dragged it down to this hill, which was about 4 miles. We took it out to this hill, this vacant lot, a place called Lost Park, which was just nothing but a big hill. Because they told you, once you take off, you get on top of a hill, and you ride downhill. And it says, and as you ride downhill, you will feel the lift. And they had the beautiful at the end. It says, you'll feel the lift beginning to develop. And at the point where your front wheels leave the ground, you must then depress the nose of your bicycle to maintain flying speed. Oh, they had a beautiful article. It says, once you are airborne, you should try a few flights before you attempt any long cross-country flying. Well, you know, this is exciting, heady stuff. So we get up to the top of the hill. Now, this is, we clamp these wings on with a pair of pliers. We hit the clamps. We get these things done. And the bicycle, the wings hung down. They didn't stand up like they showed in the picture. In the picture, looked real great. They stood up straight, but they kind of drooped. And the first, we flipped to this thing. The first flyer was Flick, who was also the biggest guy. Flick gets on the bicycle, and we're all excited. You know, Flick's sitting there, and he starts to, we push, give him a push, and he starts rolling. He's rolling. He can't even get the bike going. He's rolling real slow. So he's pumping like that, and he starts downhill. He sort of falls over sideways. He says, I don't know, there's something wrong. And so Bruner says, well, I think it's because you're too big. You know, you're way more than the rest of us. Let me try it. Bruner couldn't even get the bike moving. Schwartz tried it. I tried it. The rain is beginning to come down. And after a half an hour, we began to see we weren't going to go up. In fact, you can probably fly better just by jumping up in the air and flapping your arms. We had been had. Ain't nobody going to fly on a bicycle, at least on an Elgin bicycle with a pair of muslin wings made out of plywood that's soaking wet now with the rain coming down. Well, for 5 years, those two wings were stored in Flick's basement. And every time we'd go down in the basement, we were a little embarrassed about it. And one day, quietly, Flick's old man just thrown them out. And somehow we felt better. A disaster had been dealt with.
By recording from New York, WETA-FM has just presented Inside Gene Shepherd.